We're going to transition now into our prayer time. And today we're continuing with our series where real life meets real love. And today we're talking about moving from division to unity. And so I'm going to share a prayer for unity from Connect Us. I like their prayers. I use a lot of them. But before that, I want you to picture in your mind somebody that's an example of a division between you and them. It could be your uncle that you sit across from at Thanksgiving dinner and hope they don't start spouting whatever. Or it could be a church leader who you argue with about in magazines about topics going on. I'm talking to Mark Holland because Mark Holland's here. He's the director of Mainstream USA. So maybe it's a political difference. Maybe it's a difference with a classmate. Get somebody in your mind and picture them today and kind of hold them in the back of your mind for the rest of the service, and especially as we pray together. Let's pray. Compassionate and gracious God, all tribes and tongues will one day acknowledge Jesus as Lord. Alongside this, we know the truth proclaimed in your word that we are all created in your image. Too easily, we allow division based on culture, language, or race. Change our behavior and make us united. Let us focus on our shared status as your creation and unite together over what we have in common and not fracture over how we differ. To you, the creator of all people, we pray. Amen. Our scripture today is from 1 Corinthians. This is right at the beginning, chapter 1, verses 10 through 17. This is Paul writing. And he says, "Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement and that there be no divisions among you, but that you knit together in the same mind and the same purpose." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So we're talking about unity today, and I'm going to start with a little unity pop quiz. We'll see how you guys do with this.
Ocean.
Where does this phrase come from? One nation under God, indivisible. Pledge of Allegiance. Anybody know who wrote the Pledge of Allegiance? Francis Bellamy in 1892, but you know who added under God?
Eisenhower.
All right. Number two, who said, "United we stand, divided we fall"? Patrick Henry. Give this man a gold star. All right. Who said, "One love, one heart"?
Bob Marley.
Bob Marley. You all know Bob Marley, not so much Patrick Henry. Who said, "All for one and one for all"? Yes, written by Dumas. Who said that? You're the man. Alexander Dumas. All right. Who said, "I'd like to see the world for once all standing hand in hand"?
Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola. Very good. Number six, who said, "I hope someday you'll join us and the world will be as one"?
John Lennon.
John Lennon. Here's number seven. Who said, "Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division"?
Jesus.
Yeah. One of these things is not like the others. Why is Jesus talking about bringing division? That's kind of a complicated question, and we're going to explore that today. We're talking about moving from a mindset of division to unity, but clearly something in what Jesus says doesn't 100% fit with that. And so there's some nuances that we need to explore. I will just tell you that this subject is one of the key instances in my life of growing. I've been focused on this issue for my whole life. And so I'm going to be a little autobiographical here for a minute. I was born to two parents, both pastors, and they came from dysfunctional environments. And when they came together to start a family, their goal was to have harmony. They wanted harmony. And so that was what they created. That's what I was born into, a life that was focused on harmony. Any problems, we talked them out. And there was this sense of peace and that this is what the world was supposed to be like. And I grew up into that. And I grew up getting approval from my parents whenever I did something that promoted harmony. And so it shaped me. I became an empath. You know what an empath is? I can tell what you're feeling, or at least I think I can. I read feelings because that's what I grew up doing. And this idea of harmony and unity was at the bedrock of what I believed. It was a little naive. It was a little forced, but I didn't know that at the time. When I was 6 years old, we lived in Saline, Michigan. One day in church, we sang this song, "I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony." I had no idea it was related to Coke. I'm actually a Diet Pepsi guy, but that's fine. I brought those lyrics home at the age of 6. I locked myself in the bathroom, and I spent over an hour just singing it out loud over and over again. World in perfect harmony. That's what it's all about, and we can do that. We are this close to perfect harmony in the world. It's going to happen, and I'm going to be part of it. And then I went to college, and I graduated from college, and I was met full on with the real world, and I did not know how to cope, because here's what I saw. I saw hatred, intolerance. I saw these divisions between people that I hadn't really recognized before. And then at the age of 28, my parents got a divorce. And we found out some things about my family and found out that that harmony had been a lie the whole time. Not all of it. It just broke me. And my optimistic view of unity became a pessimistic view. Maybe we're doomed to division. Maybe that's what we're doomed with. But even with that cynicism, I didn't know any other way, and I still believed in it. And so in my career, I still focused to do whatever I could to promote unity. I've served in several churches. The last two churches were the hardest. Medium-sized churches in small towns with a wide range of political and social beliefs, leaning to the right. And I came in with this mindset that I had to keep us together. I had to pull these sides together. Sometimes I even had to censor myself and what I would say about what I believe, just to keep everybody at the table. And let me tell you, that was hard. It was also partially successful, I will say. But I got burned out for sure trying to do that. I almost left the church. As I started feeling like the kingdom of God was losing ground to division. That is called polarization. Division, when it starts happening to that extreme, you know, people on one side or the other side getting pushed apart from each other, a widening chasm between. That is what division looks like in our world right now. Let me give you a couple stats about this. A recent poll shows an increase to now 43% of Republicans and 38% of Democrats view the opposing party as a threat to the well-being of the country. 33% of young adults surveyed said they would definitely not or probably not be open to being friends with someone who voted for the opposing party in the election. In this one kills me. In 2022, a survey showed that 43% of U.S. adult respondents predicted a civil war erupting within the next decade. That's politics. It happens in our denomination, too, as you're well aware. We have tried for decades to keep us together. Issues predominantly like homosexuality and how you read scripture and trying to keep together and staying at the table until finally a group of conservatives said, enough is enough. We're done trying. And they left. And they formed the Global Methodist Church. A fourth of our churches left the denomination. Mark, I didn't get this figure. It's a fourth of the churches, but what percentage of membership? Because a lot of those were really small churches.
In Great Plains, about 10%, but nationwide, it's pretty close to
25%. Okay, so close nationwide to 25%. Wamego, the last church I served, was in that boat, and it split halfway down the middle. People who had been friends, who served together, suddenly became enemies. And now there's two congregations in Wamego. And that really hurt me. I felt very jaded after that. So my worldview went 180 degrees. I started out being all about unity, and then all I could see was division. Does this sound familiar to anybody else? And is this what Jesus really wants when he says he came to bring division? Is this Jesus' plan? No. Not so fast, anyway. I want to read another scripture of what else Jesus said that says the opposite. Listen to this from Matthew. He says, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined. And every city or household divided against itself will not stand. So here, clearly, he is saying that division is a bad thing for the kingdom. So are you confused about those two different statements, how to reconcile that? Here's what I think. I think when he's talking about bringing division, he's talking about one and only one kind of division. It's the division between those who accept membership in the kingdom of God versus those who don't. That's the division that Jesus is talking about, and Paul too. That's where the rubber meets the road. This is talking about a more profound division than a sports rivalry or even a political rivalry. This one, this is the big one. It's kind of a deal breaker for Jesus. Inside the kingdom of God, unity is possible. Outside the kingdom of God, not so much. Now, when I say kingdom of God, here's my understanding of it. I'm not talking about some place where a select few get to go and be happy for eternity. That's not my understanding of the kingdom of God. As I've come to understand it, the kingdom of God is an alternative world to our own broken world. And it's impacting us not just in the future, but right now. We say the kingdom of God is breaking in to this world. It's a new paradigm. It's living under a new way of living that's governed by some radical laws. And you might guess what those laws are. Laws about love, grace, mercy, justice. And it's open to anyone who wants in. This is where unity is possible, only with the help of divine intervention. That's what I believe. Only in the last few years have I come back around to unity, to believe that it's possible. But now I'm not so naive. It's not just some pat understanding of, oh, let's all get together and sing Hare Krishna or whatever. Now I understand that there is a human tendency to divide. It's part of living on a planet with 8 billion people. And I lament those divisions. But I have regained this hope for humans that with God's help, we can seek unity. I believe it so much that I have rededicated my life and my career towards moving towards that. Does that mean the whole world's going to start holding hands and singing kumbaya? Every person in a great big circle? Probably not. Maybe someday in the future that I can't see. The world has more than its share of people who will just plain refuse to change. Some people are offered grace and they turn away from it. Some people are given this amazing gift in mysterious ways that we can't even understand. But they are offered this new way, but they're so filled with hate of others or of themselves that even after all of God's many promptings, they reject it. Now, it's not for me or for you to point fingers and say, you get in, you're out. You get in, you're out. But this, for me, is where the division Jesus talks about kicks in. Not everyone will choose to seek the kind of unity offered in the kingdom of God. Not everyone makes the decision to love God and love neighbor. It may be harder to do than we even realize, because some of us may be struggling with the same thing. So where does that leave us? Well, I think we're called to try. After all of that, I think we're called to try to be part of this radical unity that's offered in the kingdom of God. I've got one more quiz question. This is number 8, all right? Who said, in essentials, unity, in non-essentials, liberty, in all things, charity? John Wesley. John Wesley or St. Augustine. There's some debate about that. But what he meant that uniting around these basic foundations of the kingdom of God, even in the midst of these wildly divergent ways that people talk about living it out, it's possible for us to be united. And some people aren't willing to live like that, but some are. We need to reach out across the divides and find people who are reaching back. Because there are people on that side reaching back. Case in point. Member of Wamego United Methodist Church. His name is Dave Mize. Maybe you'll tune in. Hi, Dave. Dave was in my disciple class. He's a great guy. We went round and round with questions about Scripture. He would ask a tough question, and I always have to say, I'll get back to you on that one. When the church divided, he went to the Global Methodist Church. Some pretty strong beliefs about homosexuality. And we've argued about it on Facebook some when I've posted something and gone back and forth some. But you know, I send out this weekly devotion, and almost every week he sends me a text thanking me for it and sharing what he learned from it. So this last week, Matthew put out a reel from the sermon I preached on LGBTQ LGBTQ plus stuff. And Matthew, in his great wisdom, chose the part where I was speaking against the whole denomination, so we'll see if the bishop gives me a call. But he put it out there and kind of prompted me. I said, what the heck? This is what I believe. So I shared it, and I said, if I was bold enough to say this in church, I'm bold enough to witness it to my Facebook friends. And people began to respond. And I kept waiting for Dave's response. And finally he texted me and he said, what about Romans 1? I don't know if you remember that sermon, but I actually responded to Romans 1 about natural and unnatural acts between men and women. And I wrote him back and I said, well, some people think this, some people look at it like this, some people interpret it as part of the culture and things like that. And a few hours later, he wrote back, he said, interesting concepts. I'm not smart enough to ask a reasonable follow-up question yet, but I appreciate your response. Hope we can converse more because I really respect your Bible knowledge. And I wrote back, thanks for talking with me, Dave. Maybe one of us will change the other person's mind on this tough issue, but maybe not. But regardless, Dave and I chose to honor each other's heart. I think about that relationship. It's become very special to me. We're loving each other despite our differences and divisions. And I try to picture that through God's eyes. I try to look at it with kingdom vision. How would God see this? And I think this is what God wants for us. This is what Christ offers us. So how do we do that in this increasingly divided world? Four quick things people talk about. Number one is using critical thinking. Instead of just an emotional reaction or repeating talking points you've heard, really digging into it, achieving media literacy, reading articles with different views, making sure you're informed about what you're talking about, not just lashing out back. The second one is seeking different perspectives. It's kind of the same, but the idea is to be curious about how others might understand these issues. That breaks down polarization more than anything else. Simply being curious, how do the Democrats view this issue? What is going on in the Republicans' mindset that they would have this position? Part of that is getting out of our echo chambers. If you're on any social media, it is intentionally designed to feed you articles that fit your worldview, that reinforce what you're thinking. So if you're a Fox News listener, you're going to get articles that reinforce Fox News talking points. If you're a CNN watcher, you're going to get that. That's how the algorithms work, and it's dangerous because people believe that they're in the right. There's no other valid opinion. The third one is to practice respectful dialogue instead of resorting to rhetoric. Even if you think you're the only one in the conversation trying to speak with love, do it anyway. And that involves not just speaking, but listening. We've got crud in our ears as a society. And the last one that I would suggest is to visualize a bigger tent. Not everyone will choose to participate in God's kingdom, but this is God we're talking about. God has a lot of room for a lot of people with a lot of perspectives, not just your own. And part of being in that tent is learning and listening to each other and wrestling with it, but saying, we're in this together. Jesus offers a radical new way of being. Ben, come on up. And that means disrupting the old ways of doing and thinking about things. Not everybody is going to be receptive. And I've come to understand that. It's going to be a great challenge for all of us to try to bridge those divides. But when we take another person's hand in ours and offer them love in spite of our differences, there in that place, in that moment, the kingdom of God reveals itself just a little bit more. Amen.